know I can do nothing without the Lord helping me. And so pray that he'll just give me the liberty and give me the guidance that I need this hour. You know, Brother Chuck asked last week if I'd preached. I know that the end of the year was coming. This being the last Sunday of this year got me to thinking about time. And that's the first thing that, besides the bottom of the barrel, that's the first thing that come to mind was about time. And you know, time is something that we all are subject to. Time dictates everything that we do, doesn't it? You know, we schedule things by time, what time we'll do this, what time we'll do that, and time is really, it's our enemy, isn't it? It seems like it always keeps us in a hurry. You know, as this year comes to a close, next year, Brother Schlottler comes, as we say, next Sunday, and let's pray that his time here is prosperous, that the church grows, the lost are saved, and we are all built up in the faith. As I was thinking about time, I'm going to take a reading lesson here, a couple of verses in the 90th Psalm. It says, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly. Well, I'm thankful today that I have that promise of no matter of what my allotment of time here is on earth, that I have an appointment to fly away one day. And I'm not going to, when the Lord saved my soul, he gave me a ticket. He gave me a place to go to be with him, to fly away, that I wouldn't drop into that terrible place called hell. You know, just because this gives a basic outline, it gives a bound of people's time, 70 years. That being a 20 in 10, 70 years, that would be 60 in 10, that's 70 years. And by reason of strength, if it be 80 years, it's soon cut off. You know, that's just a bounds that, in general, mankind won't pass. We don't live like they did back in Adam's day and Noah's day, you know, in the 900 years and stuff. Just because it says that, don't think that your allotment will be that. I've had a grandmother that made it over that. She made it to almost 101 years. I've had family members that didn't make it in the 40s. Didn't make it half that. You go over across the road there, and you can see headstones with dates on them that vary quite a bit. You know, some of them didn't even make it to be a child. They died as a child, even a teenager. So it's very important that we take advantage of the time that we have. And let's drop down to that 12th verse of this 90th chapter of Psalms. And it says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts. You know, there's all kinds of wisdom in this world, isn't there? world is pushing a lot of different things, but there is only one true and living wisdom, and that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it says here, so teach. That's telling me that this is something that we need to be taught, to learn. It doesn't come natural to us. You know, I'm thankful that God has left His Word, and we need to use His Word as a tool to teach us. We need to use faith in the Lord to teach us, and we need to use prayer. That the Lord would teach us, and it's to number our days. That's not only to realize that today may be our last day, but to allot to that day a particular use. And it is to apply our heart to wisdom. You know, turn over to the 1 Corinthians, in the first chapter here, read with me if you would. Paul, I think, gives a good description to these there in Corinth about wisdom. He says in the 20th verse of this first chapter, he said, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribes? Where is the disputers of this world? Hath God not made foolishness the wisdom of the world?" I told you, they all kinds of wisdom in this world, didn't they? You know, people go to college, and people learn a lot of things, and somebody's always pushing something new. You know, you might one day, you might learn how to make gold out of a jar of peanut butter, but I tell you what, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll do you no good. It's not worth anything, people. We need to apply our hearts to the wisdom that only God can give. If you're here lost today, there's nothing more important than this day, that you number this day. You put an allotment on it. Make it your purpose to know the Lord in a forgiveness and pardon of sin. For after wisdom of this world, for that after the wisdom of this world, God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preachers to save them that believe. A lot of wisdom, as I said, that's in this world, but the wisdom that Satan will put out before your eyes and before your mind will lead to death and destruction. But I tell you what, the wisdom that is through the preaching of the true gospel can lead you unto salvation. And I pray today that if you're here and lost, that you will consider these things. It says, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews it's a stumbling block, and unto the Greek it is foolishness." You know, a lot of the world thinks today that it's just do what you please, that you're not accountable to everybody. I tell you, that's the wisdom of the world. They think that the preaching of the gospel is foolishness, but unto them that believe is the power of God unto salvation. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek, listen, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. You know, that is the wisdom that we're supposed to number our days, and that we are asking God to teach us, and we need to allot ourselves. We need to give it space. We need to use it wisely. The wisdom that Christ is part of God. He is wisdom of God. You know, as I read this, it said, but unto them that's called. Oh, I thank God one day I got a call to the preaching of the gospel. It wasn't an audible voice, but the Spirit of God spoke to my heart, and there was an emptiness in there that it needed something. It was empty. There was a space that had a hole in it. You know, when God created man, he created him upright, and he sinned and he fell, and God's Spirit wasn't in him anymore. But thanks be to God that he made a plan where Jesus would come to save a lost and dying world, that that void could be filled and we could be saved. You know, I'm thankful that that call came to me one day. You know, it didn't feel good. I didn't want to go bow at an altar. As a deacon of the church got up, and just as soon as he got up, I know he was coming to me. I don't remember him saying but three words: "Are you lost?" And the best description I have of what it did to my heart was throwing a cup of gas on the fire. I mean, there was a conviction and a trouble and a sorrow that erupted. You know what that was? That was a call of God to repent. That didn't save me, but I prayed. I tried to make deals. I tried to promise to be good. I even got to a point to where I decided I wasn't that bad. You know, we're all sinners. You know, sin is transgression of the law. I transgressed the law. We all have, haven't we? You know, I thought about them Pharisees that asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus told him to love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. If you fell short in that, boy, I have. As a saved individual, I've fell short of that. Not easy for us to always put God where he belongs. You know where he belongs? He belongs first and foremost in our lives, in our hearts, and in our minds. Not easy for us to do, is it? I fell short. I transgressed that. But listen to this second one. He said the second one is like unto it, to love thy neighbor as thyself. Boy, that one's tough. Can you love anybody? You love your neighbor as you love yourself? We fall short on that, don't we? Boy, it's easy to want to put self first. You know, the Bible instructs us that we are to consider our brother's needs higher than our own. It's hard to do, isn't it? So I've transgressed. But I thank be to God that Jesus paid the price. You know, we're thinking about time, and I thought about something that was said that, boy, Christmas, you know, you anticipated it for such a long time, and then just a little while, it's over with. Yeah, the traditions that we hold, the giving of gifts and the traditions we hold, they don't last long. But I tell you what, the meaning of Christmas is a everlasting. So it's not a story, it's an account. It's an everlasting account. You know, in Galatians it says that, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. You know, Jesus, he come to this world. It's not just about his birth. His birth is how he was incarnated into this world. But that is not the end of the story, people. We oughtn't to let the spirit of what Christmas actually means to ever fade. We need to think what Jesus come for. That birth in that manger, that was just the interest that God chose for him to be incarnated into this world. But he come to this world and he was made under the law, but he fulfilled the broken law of God. Those things I said that I couldn't do, he did them all. He always loved the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, with all his strength. And you know what he did? He loved his neighbor as himself. You know, he loved you more than he loved himself. He did. He had it all. He was God from eternity past. He would have been God throughout all eternity if he had never come to this earth to redeem lost humanity. He's from everlasting to everlasting. But he was willing to lay down his glory. He was willing to take upon him the flesh of a man. He was willing to come and suffer as he did. Why? To redeem them that were under the law. That's you, people. That's me. You know, Jesus, he knowed why he come. I thought about the high priest. They took him before Pilate. They didn't have the authority to kill him. That's the reason they took him to Jesus. Pilate told them, said, judge him by your law. And they said, you know it's unlawful for us to put a man to death. They wanted him killed. You know, Jesus, before he left heaven, before the foundation of the world, he knew what lay ahead of him. He knew the awful abuse that was coming his way. Brother Curtis, I appreciated that the greatest gift message that you preached last Sunday. You know, that's a gift that keeps on giving, isn't it? If you know the Lord and the forgiveness and pardon of sin. You know, Pilate asked him, therefore sayest unto thee, art thou king? And then Jesus answered, thou sayest I am king. Listen, told you Jesus no. He said, to this end was I born. He was talking about he was born into this world for the death that they were going to put him through. He knowed that. He said, for this end was I born. Oh, that Christmas is just not about that manger. I tell you what, it is a ever-living. count of the love of Jesus to mankind. He said, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. You know, he told people what they needed to do to be saved. That is, repent towards God and put their faith and trust in him. He bore witness of that. You know, they took him and they crucified him. I said it was a never-ending account. You know, they took him and put him in a barred grave, and in 3 days he arose again. You know, it would have been an ending story if he was still laying in a tomb someplace. But he's not laying in a tomb someplace. He ascended from that grave. And he showed himself alive amongst many infallible proofs for 40 days. And then he ascended to the right hand of the Father. To make intercession for us. I tell you, if you're here and you're lost today, you need to apply your heart to wisdom. And that wisdom is in Christ. You know, but the story don't end there, does it? Well, it's an everlasting story. He's ascended to the Father and sitting at his right hand, but one day after a while, he's going to come back. He's going to receive unto himself those that are his. I'll soon be cut off, but one day I'll fly away. He'll call, I'll answer, and I'll go to meet him in the air. What about you, friend? Where do you stand? Wisdom of this world God will bring to naught. It'll do you absolutely no good. If you know everything that this world had to offer, everything that Satan puts before you, it'll come to naught. But I tell you what, the wisdom that is in Christ Jesus and knowing that he saved your soul, I tell you what, that is that's an everlasting gift, isn't it, Brother Curtis? It'll last eternally. Boy, I'm thankful one day that the Lord called to me through his Spirit. You feel something knocking in your heart? Do you have an emptiness in there? Is there a void? Something not right? You can turn it away. You can put it off to a more convenient season. You know, as the king said that one time, wasn't it? Come again, I'll hear you, the more convenient season. But I tell you what, you better number your days, because today may be your last one. You may not have another opportunity. I pray you do, but I don't know. You know, this may be my last day here on earth. If it is, that's okay. You know, there'll be some may miss me for a little while, but I tell you what, I won't miss a thing about this world. When I close my eyes in death and open them to the sight of the Lord Jesus and what he's with to prepare, the things of this world grow vastly dim. Where you stand today? Have you got that void? Something knocking on your heart? Something telling you that something's not right between you and God? Apply your heart to wisdom for Christ. 'Tis the power of God and the wisdom of God. No other way but trust and obey. You got to trust in the Lord Jesus. You got to put your complete faith in this everlasting account that'll never die. He died once, but death couldn't hold it. Then arose from the grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave. While I'm subject to death, one day after a while, I'll rise victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Not because of me, it's because of Christ Jesus, the power and the wisdom of God. Lord, teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. People, we need to, church, I'll talk to you for just a minute. We need to apply our hearts to wisdom. We've got a new pastor coming, don't we? You know, I thought about there in the 188th, 37th Psalm there. I thought about those captives that went to Babylon. They had a hard time. You know, it's been a hard year, hasn't it? For a lot of us, it's really been a hard year. We've lost a lot of good people. We've had hardships. We've had sicknesses. Even our pastor got called away. How easy would it for us to hound our harps in the willows? That's what these did. They said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sit down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Yeah, well, it's easy for us to think back on how things may have used to be, how they was, and weep. So we hung our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they were carried away captive, required of us. For they that carried us away captive required of us a song, that they wasted us, requiring us mirth, saying, sing us a song of Zion. And they said, how shall we sing a song of the Lord in this strange land? You know, it's easy for us to get to the place to where it's hard for us to sing the songs of the Lord in this strange land. You know, but in that 18th chapter of John there, he said that he came to bear witness of the truth. Everyone that is of truth, my voice. You know, the only hope that those Babylonians had was for them, the people that knew the Lord, to sing about the Lord, what he had did, what he could do, and what he would do. You know, that's the only hope that they really had, wasn't it? You know, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know, we've been saved by the grace of God. We've heard his voice, hadn't we? He said he come to bear witness of the truth. You know, church, what he left his church in the world to do, bear witness of the truth. Brother Carter's heard you many times give God thanks for the church that he left here. For if it hadn't have been for the church, you may have never heard the gospel. May have never got saved. I said, the out of here. Let's pray for our lost. I said, we all got lost in our families, don't we? I tell you what, if we hang our harps in the willows and we give up and we don't uphold Jesus, they don't have a lot of hope, people. Where are they going to hear the gospel? You know, new pastor coming, we need to get our harps out of the willow. We need to get our hearts out of the willow. Get them in tune. Get them to where they might make a sweet melody before the Lord. That he might come back and save our lives. Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our heart to wisdom. Well, that's what we need today, people. Our wisdom is not in the things of this world. God done brought it to naught. But our wisdom is in Christ. He is the wisdom of God. If you're here today, Brother Strode, let's have a song. If you're here today and you feel that emptiness in your heart, there's not but one thing that can feel that for eternity. You know, people in this world, they try to fill that void that's left there, that absence of the Lord Jesus Christ. They try to fill it in a lot of things. Drugs, alcohol, perverse things. But I tell you what, they'll all come to naught. They're foolishness. There's not but one thing. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ that can fill that emptiness. You'll have to go to him and repent. You'll have to turn to him. You'll have to turn loose of the wisdom of this world and everything about it. And put your complete faith and trust in Jesus. In that everlasting account that he gives, that his word gives, what he comes for. Friend, he come to this world because he loved you more than he loved himself. For he give himself a ransom for you. May God bless you. Most God. You need to seek the Lord. It's a good place up here to seek him. You can seek him where you're at. But whatever you do, don't let death overtake you, not knowing the Lord.
1, 2, and 5.